And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Welcome, everyone, to In the Green Room. It's Kinga.
And Martin.
And Rachel.
And Chet. And we wish you a happy Tuesday today. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. It's been a little while. I missed you guys.
Well, we missed you, Martin.
Where have you been?
Yeah.
I have been doing all sorts of fun things. I was in Vegas for a convention. Remember,
convention, I'm sure.
Okay. Of course, of course.
With your beautiful, beautiful.
No, it was just me. It was just me.
You left your beautiful
Well,
bride.
She had to work. She had
oh,
to work.
Oh, my goodness.
But one of the coolest things that did, do you remember Regina Nixon from the Phoenix Conservatory of Music?
Yes, I love her.
So she invited me to teach an improv class, an improvisation class there this Saturday for about 30 of her students. And we had so much fun. So that was I think, the highlight of my weekend.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We're always giving back here in the Green Room.
And
we're all about saving the planet.
Connections.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun to connect, have like past guests connect with each other or ourselves. Like, it's a really good time.
So we have to welcome Dr. Stacy Stevenson. She's going to be one of our co-hosts and our guests tonight.
Say that five
say
times
hello.
Fast.
I was just
say
thinking that.
Dr. Stacy
Stevenson.
And she's had her own health show. And
she's
very famous for making this world a better place and helping cancer patients. Mm-hmm.
And so, Stacy, you're the chair of
Child Help,
Functional Medicine,
Functional Medicine Centers
of America.
But she's also chairing.
Well, I was going to say, what all does
That's true. What all does that mean?
Yeah, what all does that entail exactly?
That actually entails integrating traditional type of medicine for cancer with other forms of medicine, from acupuncture to nutrition, to all forms of holistic therapies. We have spiritual therapies. We work with IV nutrition, chelation therapies, basically bringing everything directly to the cancer patient so that they do not have to seek other types of care outside of their primary therapy.
So that's amazing. Can go everywhere.
I was going to say, the last thing someone in that position should be worried about is trying to get different forms of care, whether it's because they don't believe what they're doing is enough or just because they want to cover all their bases. So that's amazing that you guys do it for them.
Well, we actually, it's not so much about covering the bases, but we actually believe that patients are out searching for every type of alternative they possibly can. They're fighting for their life.
Yes.
Every single day.
They're trying to live.
They're trying to live. And for anyone to limit their choices is simply unacceptable. Really, I should go back to the foundation of cancer treatment centers, because it was designed to provide options that never existed before. So the purpose, which was founded by my husband, was to actually create
options.
Can
you say hello?
I'll say hello. He is here, our cheering section, Mr. Woo! Richard Stevenson. Hello. I love you, honey.
Don't you just love this lady?
Yay. Yes, he is here.
And we got to talk about their love story, but that's, after we interview
That's the
her
relationship.
A little bit.
We should bring him on.
Kinga puts everybody on the spot.
Oh,
yeah, you just got to get used
We just
to
spent
it.
An hour talking about it. I'm just mesmerized by how they met and how much they are in love. And I felt that at this Child Help event where they were up on the stage and they were just like doing a Sonny and Cher routine. But anyway, go back to you.
They were singing like Sonny and Cher.
They're incredible.
No, we were sparring like
okay.
We were sort of sparring because we sort of feed off each other. We both enjoy public speaking, but we definitely have different styles. I am a little bit more scripted. I'm a little bit more doctor style, essentially, and he is just off the rails. And so we attempt.
That's shocking. I'm totally
off the rails in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah.
So, yes, what our guests always notice is that I'm trying to keep him on the script.
That's how everybody else is here at the show. Like, I just go off on
She's
a
off the rails.
Okay, we got to talk about this right
there's
now.
There's some kindred spirits going on here.
Right. And to add insult to injury, he focuses and focuses and focuses on our run of show, our perfect scripting. He practices his speech a million times, and then he just goes wherever he wants
wing
to
it.
Go.
Just wing it.
See, okay, improvisation, that's what I'm talking about right
So this
there,
is really
right
important. I'm going to say this. When this show started, by the way, Quita, we love you. We miss you. You're not here tonight.
Oh, yes.
Shout out to Quita.
We love you. But we'll see you next week. And tell everyone we said hello in your family, and God bless you. So when the show started out, Quita is producer of ABC 15. And so she's so used to writing scripts, and she'd spend like hours writing scripts for the show. And then I'd sit there in the very beginning of the show, and I'd be looking at it, and I'd study it, and I'd get nervous trying to follow the script. And one day I was like, that's it. I'm not following the script anymore. I'm just going to have fun and just like, and I just didn't want to go by the script because I felt like it wasn't natural, and I felt like we were reading something. And I'm like, Quita, you don't have to do all this work. You're spending hours doing this, and we could just like have a fun show. And she realizes
our show could be called Off the Rails, is what you're saying.
Off the
rails. Basically.
Off the rails. Yes,
well, I think it opens up a more fun conversation, honestly, to not
right?
have
it does.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
It leaves everything a little bit more open-ended. And then you always end up learning something about who our guest is that you would never know unless we got into this fun conversation.
But
that's
yeah,
right.
But it's led to other fun conversations. Like I asked Barry Goldwater Jr. about House of Cards and like how that relates to real life. So we just got to ask like fun, random questions like that nice, too. So nice.
That's love a good that. Example, Chet. I love it. So back to Dr. Stacey Stevenson.
Thank you. You're very sweet to plug Child Help. I appreciate that. Yes. You did meet us when we were chairing an event for their upcoming 60th anniversary gala. And thank you for being there, and thank you for supporting Child Help.
Thank you. I love Carol and Jim Hebbets, and they are all about it. And Rachel?
Oh, yes. Well, to our listeners, they were actually
she's working
past
with them
guests
now.
As well. And so we are always trying to plug Child Help on the show. As many people can donate to this amazing cause that donates, I believe it's 92 to 94 cents on every dollar, which is a very high margin for a charity to be able to turn around that amount directly back to the children.
How can people donate, Rachel?
So you can donate. There's a toy drive for the holidays. They'll be accepting toys, or you can always donate money.
Or come to the event, which is when?
Come to the event. There's childhelp.org is, of course, our website where you can donate directly. You also could come to the event, which is February 2nd, 2019. It's hard to say 2019. I was thinking if I was going to get that correct. And it is their 60th anniversary
60th
celebration.
Anniversary. It's a big deal.
That's so we awesome. Are asking donors to really dig a little deeper than usual in honor of the 60th
Pull
anniversary.
It out of your pocket.
It's
Pull
important.
It out of your Pull it out of the pocket.
Trying to Christmas.
And it's all going directly back to the children. There's been 10 million children helped so far. By this organization. So it's
really,
very powerful.
I want to say this to everybody out there. If you are going to spend a ton of money on your kids and your family buying all these new gifts that probably a lot of them they're going to return them, instead say to your family, hey, why don't we donate to Child Help and then have like a great experience? Because, you know, your life is more rich with experiences instead of things. You don't need more things. Really? Do you need more things?
Right, right. And really, then, are your kids that good? Do they really deserve all that stuff?
They probably deserve more cool than you would think.
And so
know.
We have a second guest that's coming on that plucked their kids out of school here because they thought that their kids and just everything was about things. And they brought them to a school in Bali to be more about sustainability, being eco-friendly.
Bali or Bali?
Bali, Bali.
It's Bali. Yeah, it's not Bali.
Bali, Bali.
And that was closer.
Bali, Bali. What is it?
Bali.
Chet loves to make fun of me. But anyway, their kids went to school there for a couple of years, and it's all about sustainability. It's not about things. It's about experiences. It's about going green. It's about caring about the planet. It's about organic farming, and we'll hear more about that later. So
all that good stuff.
Dr. Stacey is going to help us interview Karen
My
later
job
on.
Keeps expanding on the show, and I want more pay.
Off the rails.
From zero to zero.
We're going to double it right now. We're going to double your pay right this second.
So how did you
and
get involved with?
You've gotten me lost. Where do you want me to go from here?
Well, I
want
to know how you got involved
with the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Well, I told you we weren't going to talk about the history of our relationship, but the truth is...
Just tell a little bit.
I will just tell a little bit.
It's a cool story. Like
it's a fun story.
It's like that movie Pretty Woman.
Oh, no.
Wow, which one?
What?
Yes.
Wait,
you know what you just implied?
I was walking the streets.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
So many questions. I have so many questions right now.
Are you sure you said the right movie?
That was a different movie.
I think she meant Officer and a
Pretty
Gentleman.
Pretty Woman. Maybe it is Officer and Gentleman, but still, that's
no,
like,
no.
No, I don't like that either. No, it's
been. Wait, well, why not like Grey's Anatomy or something?
I don't know what movie it is.
It's her
just
own
the way he pursued
story.
You.
I don't
it's
know.
Just the way he pursued you, and he's obsessed with you. And he
no,
just,
no,
he
that, no,
you.
That sounds sick.
It's her own story. It's her own story, and we want to hear it. Let's go. Without further ado.
Wow, no pressure now after
no
Kinga.
No pressure just, now. We're pretty woman, officer, and a gentleman.
Well,
no.
Look at you.
She
okay.
said it.
Okay, wait, I will be serious for 1 minute.
We're going to have to write our own Hollywood movie about your story, and then we'll just make it into a movie. And then
we'll make our own name. We'll make our own name. So, no.
Ariel.
I've been working in integrative medicine since before it was cool. I always used to say that I was the weird doctor because you had to explain everything you did. The idea of dietary restrictions and the whole gluten-free movement and all of these sorts of things had been in my world for over 15 years now.
And I believe in all that. Do you?
Well, and there's no reason to believe because it's science.
Okay,
of course I did. But the literature,
listen.
Well, I believe in science.
You believe in science.
I've always seen pizza without
the main thing to believe in is science.
Sorry, I'm having some trouble here. Some sound trouble, but let's just keep going.
Kinga broke something again. Just keep going like nothing happened.
All right. See, you said fun things always happen on the show.
It does. It's always kind of wild. And
in any event, I had private practices in Illinois and Indiana in functional and integrative medicine. And I do not remember how, but I met a gentleman from Cancer Treatment Centers of America that I believe was on their board. He learned about what I did. I was extremely interested in genomic medicine as a predictor of therapy in cancer and all kinds of other chronic conditions, and had been speaking and lecturing on these subjects. Long story short, his team later invited me to come and present to their medical team, and in walks this gentleman. Traditional Hollywood meeting.
Was this at
off
the board
an
meeting?
Elevator. It's just a kind of like a...
Was he in a naval uniform?
He was not in naval uniform, but he three-piece suit, absolutely, you know, completely well-appointed, well put together.
From your same tailor. They shared the same tailor.
We shared the same tailor. This is true. Now, watch out. I said you weren't going to share details, Kinga.
Okay, okay.
All right, let me share the details.
Okay.
Not your story, Kinga.
I swore her to secrecy to some level of privacy.
Yes.
Okay, some level of privacy.
Yes.
But this part of the story, people do know. This is dangerous when you share things with someone mm-hmm. who basically has ADD.
Yes. Especially.
And loves to gossip.
Especially Kinga. You would not believe the stuff she has told people on this show.
I'm never speaking to you again.
No, I won't divulge the
Only tell her stuff.
Stuff
that you want to get out.
That's right. Yeah, you want to get it out, and tell her don't say anything.
Don't tell her, don't say anything, right? Because then she's going to say there are no filters.
That's not true.
I'm teasing.
That's not true. Okay.
No, she's right.
It's a boring story, but
it's very exciting, actually.
To a boardroom of physicians and other health professionals ready to present on genomic medicine, which really was emerging at the time, really wasn't involved in hospital care yet. And just prior to that, I walk off the elevator. He's walking onto the elevator. I don't know who this man is. And he greets me and basically yells, is this Dr. Makari, was my then name, and I don't know who he is, and he gives me the biggest hug you've ever imagined in your life. I still don't know who he is. And then we go into the boardroom, I begin my presentation, but he's hanging back because he tends to be a little behind on time. Sometimes he's not always the most prompt person. So
I love it.
I just start my presentation and I'm working through it and the room begins to change. My back is to the door and everybody, the papers are shifting, people are sort of standing up and moving around and the world is just changing. But I'm in the middle of a presentation with a PowerPoint, all the medical stuff, et cetera.
So you're focused.
I'm focused, and everybody just freaks out. Well, in has walked my now husband, Mr. Richard Stevenson, and they're just all preparing because it's his hospital. But now I think to myself, is this the man that I just met on the elevator? Now he's in this room with me. What am I supposed to do with this? I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do. It's probably a little more colorful than that, but not for broad viewership.
Well, then I think it's funny. I won't divulge much, but can we fast forward to then you show up at another event?
No, just let her tell the
event.
Story. Come on.
Well, then I suppose
that's funny.
Fast forward a couple of months. I run into him at a gala for the Gateway for Cancer Research, which I had come by myself in order to meet a number
kind of
colleagues. It was a big deal for cancer research. I'm going to meet a lot of colleagues that I'd also met at the hospitals recently. And I didn't know that he was involved in that organization either. I just never was putting two and two together. So step two, another Hollywood meeting. I walk off the elevator. I have no date. I'm ready for the ball. I have no idea why I'm going by myself. Something told me to do it. And there he is again.
The universe came together.
There he is again.
And speaking of that, we have a musical guest that I'm very excited about.
We have Sunkissed about to play the show, The Three Sisters.
That's right. I think we're going to get ready. If we can do one more question to our guest while we're getting set up for music, and we'll...
What would that be?
I don't know. There's a...
No
more stories.
Well, you're here to
still
co-host.
What do you really want to know?
All right.
Well, I want to know how long it took from the day you met him till when you got married.
I don't know. Probably, I don't know.
He said 2 months?
Oh, that's right. He says 30 minutes. That's right. He claims 30 minutes.
What I love is when you first went to Chicago, he said, you're at your home.
That's true. That is true. The first time I came to his home.
About the third time they met.
The third time we met, he welcomed me by saying, welcome home. And he meant
that.
It.
And I think that's awesome because you know what you want.
That's true.
You see it, you know.
That's true.
You feel it, you know.
But I wanted to keep my company, and I didn't let him recruit me, and I didn't work for his company at the time.
I love it.
No way.
Good
no
girl.
Way. I didn't want.
So we are going to go to music right now. Sunkissed. Let's go.
Hello, everyone. We are Sunkissed. I'm Kaylee. Carrie's on the violin to my left, and then my youngest sister, Cassie's on my right, playing the cajon. And we are going to be playing a Lady Gaga song called John Wayne. Hope you guys like it.
And you guys will be playing a couple more songs, and we're so lucky to have you. We found you competing at Els Cooper's event, and I thought you guys were number one. Thank you.
Thank you.
The sang speed into lovers at a four dead end. Too fast, all tight. He laughs, running through the red lights.
Hollering over rubber spinning. Big swig, here we go again. Too lit tonight, praying on the moonlight.
Every dawn is just the same. I'm sick of the city games. I crave over a wild man. I'm strung out on John Wayne.
Love junkie on a three-day bender. His grip so hot, has glail, trouble like a mugshot.
Charged up cause the man's on a mission. One, two, yeah, the gears are shifting. He called, I cried, we broke, raced through the moonlight.
Every dawn is just the same. I'm sick of their city games. I crave over a wild man. I'm strung out on John Wayne. Let's get high, John Wayne. Baby, let's get high.
So I go through the eye of the storm just to feel your love.
Knock me over, here I go.
Okay, you guys are incredible sisters. The Sunkissed, I love it. We are going to have two more songs from them. Thank you so much. You guys are so talented. Alice Cooper that knows what he's doing.
That was amazing.
Wow. We recruited them from Alice Cooper's competition.
I loved the sound. It was
tell me about Alice
so
Cooper's
positive.
Competition. I don't know about that.
Oh, so Alice Cooper has a teen center.
Well, the competition's called Proof is in the Pudding. And yes. It's a competition of a bunch of like up-and-coming musicians and producers. And they all, it's kind of like a battle of the bands. And then one person wins, or one band wins, and then they get, I think, about $10,000 or something to produce their own record, I believe.
And they get to sing with him December 6th. There's a concert with Alice Cooper's new band that's called Hollywood Vampires with Johnny Depp. It's with Johnny Depp, and I think it's with the guy from Aerosmith. I should know. Yes, John Perry. Joe Perry. Joe Perry. Thank you. She knows. Joe Perry.
John Perry's a totally different dude.
So, yeah. Thank you. Joe Perry. Thank you.
Still a nice guy, though.
Not totally nice guy.
So I just know Johnny Depp. I'm mesmerized by him. And so it's amazing because he gives all these kids opportunity to make it big. And the Teen Center for some kids that can't afford instruments or lessons, they can go
wonderful.
There. And
amazing.
Yes. And get schooled on music and then enter into this competition. But I think that these girls' sisters were lucky to be, their parents had them starting to play piano very early, at like 8 years old, and they've been in music for a long time. But anyway, back to what we're talking about.
Sorry, I love music. Can't help it. Had to know. Yes.
I actually did have a question. Earlier you talked about the cancer research, the integrative therapies, things like that. What is your position on how do you guys treat hemp and cannabis? Because that's in the news a lot now.
Of course you went right for that. Thank you so much.
I was in the industry for many years. I'm a patient myself.
Oh.
So there's, it's an important thing for me to educate not only the positives and the negatives of that. So
we don't
I'm
support one or the other. We like to talk
and
about
also,
it.
Yeah, we want to. Also, it's supported pretty in a mainstream way in Israel. So that's kind of in a medical way. So it's kind of
Use of cannabis goes way back in medicine. We all know that. The core belief that is always in the center is what is best for the patient. We don't really have interest in politically what is of most interest. We have interest in what your needs are as the
patient. I love that because that's what it should only be about.
If you believe, between you and your doctor, you make a decision that something is right for you, for your unique situation. Remember, we are all an N of one, meaning every single one of us is a unique individual, unique DNA, and we need unique treatments. So if we keep the patient at the center with patient-centered care, then we will make the right decision every single time.
Well, everything affects you differently. I mean, whether it's sugar or alcohol or caffeine, everybody's
patient-centered care.
Yeah,
that's my answer.
So
if it's right for you, then we're going to get it for you.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love that.
I know that's a simple answer.
It's a perfect answer.
It is a perfect answer.
It is. And you know,
I have another question. What does the spread look like with treatments inside of the center? Do a lot of patients have very similar care, or are they very spread out amongst many patients in numerous different treatments?
That's a very, very good question. Thank you. Remember that we treat all forms of cancer other than pediatric. We don't work with children. So it really, because there are all types, imagine taking all types of cancers plus all types of people, you're going to have a unique treatment for each individual, period. And that's what we call the N of one. When we study research in medicine, we talk about treating each person individually. And what we used to do with medications and therapies traditionally in medicine is, remember, we took big randomized called controlled groups of 10,000 or 20,000 or 100,000 worldwide. And then we boiled down that data and we said, oh, this is the answer. And this is the answer for you and you and you and you and everyone else. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We see all these side effects, right? We see different outcomes for different people. And in a group of people, that randomized trial works. But as you get farther and farther away and you get more and more genetic variability and uniqueness among individuals and between individuals, you have unusual outcomes. And this is why one person can say, oh, I took this certain medicine, whether it's for cancer or anything else, and I had this outcome. Well, I took this certain medicine and I had another outcome. It's driven substantially by your genetics and how your body is responding to the medication. So really the answer to your question is, while there always are sort of core tenets of treatment in certain types of cancers that can work in large groups of individuals. So you'll see similarities among treatments, but in reality, each individual should have their own unique treatment plan, period, end of story.
Haven't there been studies where like two twins have had the same diet, same exercise and everything, and one has this and one has this disease and one doesn't?
Absolutely. And actually there can be, in those examples, there could have been genes driving those diseases. In other words, there could be a very unique gene that tends to code for that certain illness. But in the end, one twin becomes sick, one does not, and that's where environment comes in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And exposures.
How close are we to, like you were talking about, coding the genes? I saw a TED Talk probably 5 or 6 years ago that said that we were 10 years away from being to a certain milestone of, you know, being able to diagnose cancers and all types of diseases through the genome. So where do you think that we're at on that?
Speed is incredible. In fact, the speed of this, what we call genomic revolution, is faster than we really can analyze the data, quite frankly. I don't want to date myself, but when I was an undergraduate.
Stop it. You look like you're 25.
Yeah, when I was an undergraduate, they finished the Human Genome Project. Mm-hmm. That was the first time we coded the entire human genome, and that means all of your genes in the complete sequence, 100% of what makes up a human being. It cost $1 billion. And took 10 years. The first one.
Right.
The first round. Now we can do that for $1,000 in a couple of days.
Right. Now,
the question is, what do we do with the information?
What do we do with it?
I've been seeing an ad recently, actually, that you can pay $200 to have your genome sequenced so you can know. And then there's a different company that is, because a lot of the sequencing companies I've seen, they own your information if they do it.
Oh.
Or they have a part of it and can send it out and it can be used for studies for under their purpose. But there's a new company I saw that is, they'll sequence your genome, but then you own it. And you can actually...
I don't understand what you really mean.
Well, there's been a lot of debate because remember, sequencing a genome, whether you're using blood or saliva, there was a big question for a number of years, who owns that information? Mm-hmm. Is that a medical test or is that your personal information and you own it to utilize as you wish? Believe it or not, there was a debate over who owns your DNA.
That's crazy.
If you get it analyzed at a company. This went on for a number of years.
So what is the
now
answer?
The answer is you own that information.
Mm-hmm.
Now
you don't have to share it.
You don't have to share it. Now you may have given that company approval to
or
be
access,
part of a study.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's probably pretty smart.
Do they pay
as long
you
as you
to do that?
No.
Well,
unless you have some amazing superpowers.
No. This new one that I found.
So
you,
tell me more about that.
You can actually get paid for being you choose where to send your genomic information.
And how much do you think we could get for Kingdom?
And depending on where you other, I guess, companies will put up like an ad saying they need X amount of
Need to accrue patients.
Yeah, they need information. And then you can send your DNA to them and be paid for it, be reimbursed for sharing your information.
That's very interesting.
And
that's very interesting.
It's put on through this company where they basically are the interface in which you can, the marketplace.
Just to remind everybody, Rachel had
information.
She graduated from U of A. She ran track. She was on. I like to brag about Rachel because she's.
Why are you trying to sell her DNA?
No, yes, we should because
$500.
Track star.
But straight A student scholarship. I didn't have to pay for college. I saved a lot of money. So anyway, go back to it.
So I have another question.
You have another question
on the genome.
I've gone really into the genome. I love this. Thank you.
I'm
fascinated. No, people are very interested.
They are.
We're so interested. Tell us more.
One of the things that I've heard and read about is that this advance in genome, like you were saying, it's happening faster than we can even analyze the data. It's going to have a significant effect on human longevity. Is that already happening what's your thoughts on that?
That's a much more deep question.
I love the question.
Do love the question. I think knowing the information is one piece.
Do you need a minute while we
No. Most people are right now, the motivation is to help people that are suffering in some way. Right. So most of the energy and the research is surrounding, okay, illnesses, of course, or things that people are facing, or genetic diseases that run in families. How can we manage these sorts of things? So the sort of the dollars and the interest are going to focus in trying to eliminate the human suffering. You're asking me a much bigger question, which I like a lot
more.
Well,
once you're successful, right? Once you're successful in helping all those sick people who would may potentially have passed, now have a meaningful life to live, and what's the next level there?
I think you've hit the nail on the head, because the truth is, I think working too much in the disease process, we negate what we really should be doing. Is we really should be going backwards and looking much more at prevention. We're putting the cart before the horse,
in my opinion. An ounce of prevention.
An ounce of prevention has never stopped mattering. It doesn't matter any less now than it ever did.
Which is eating right, which is living right.
I'm so lucky
I do have another question,
that kind of
piggybacks on that one. Okay. How much can sequencing your genome and knowing like what you might be predisposed to, how much can that play a role in prevention? And does that play a role in prevention already?
It does already. There are sequences that we can look at that, for example, we could coach you on diet. There are a series of vitamin D genes. That's one that's really easy to grasp on prevention. And for example, there's a gene that makes it a little bit more difficult for some people to literally just absorb vitamin D. It's called VDR, vitamin D receptor. Very simple. VDR. I have it. Actually, I have the aberration for that. I have to take nearly 5,000 IU per day vitamin D.
Wow.
Which typically for my size and gender, 1,000 would be recommended. But I have to take 5,000 just to reach an average level of vitamin D. That's a perfect example. Vitamin D is probably one of the greatest single predictors of reducing chronic disease that we
can. Is that
because
you don't need sun?
Of vitamins.
Really?
Pardon me?
So another way is sun?
Is that sun. Good? What about sun?
Do we need sun? If you get sun, can you have vitamin D through sun?
Sure.
So sunshine?
Sure. Absolutely, but ultimately the vitamin D still has to attach to receptor sites. And some people have a genetic predisposition where they have fewer quantity of those particular receptors. It's about 20% of the population.
And so
you don't want to spend your days baking in the sun.
Yeah, I don't want to bake in the sun either. Right. But it is that's just one that people can sort of grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And we have connected vitamin D deficiencies to a number of cancers, for example. So that's a perfect fit for prevention. And I think we're going to find that these preventive measures have simple roots at core in how we can coach you in your diet and how we can coach you with how you take your nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And then exercise, 100%.
Huge.
So exercise, diet.
Sitting
taking care of yourself.
Taking care of yourself.
So I think we're going to cut to a song, and Martin is going to leave us. Say goodbye.
I'm not leaving forever.
Bye, Martin.
Martin's gone. No, I'm kidding.
We love you, Martin. We missed you while you were
back
out of
town. Sunkissed Music here in a second.
Sunkissed will be right here.
Welcome back, Sunkissed. I do have a question for you ladies.
Give us some joy and
please,
music.
Please let our listeners know your social media account so we can all listen to you guys all the time.
So I love, they've been together 6 years. And once again, we recruited them from Alice Cooper. And I think they're just like, they're Sunkissed.
Thank you.
So you go away. Talk to us.
You can check out our social media at Sunkissed Music 3. That's Sunkissed, SunKissed. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our website.
And before you start, how are you guys being sustainable or eco-friendly in any way? Give us a tip.
What's the tip?
Or tell us after you sing. Think about it and tell us later.
Okay. After the song. All right. This is a song we wrote called Dark Night.
dark night. The outside world is so bright. Everyone is watching me. Can see everything from anywhere. Pulling me through the thorns, easing our way into trouble. Don't use that smile on me.
Something you would do.
Killed that.
Smart. Wow. I'm so excited about this.
Wow.
Sun-kissed. Wow. We love your sound.
What amazing. Do you think?
Holy
thank
mouth.
You.
Yes.
Incredible. The talent at such a young age.
It feels sunny in here. So.
Sun-kissed is.
I don't know.
Do
the girls write their music? You're writing all your music? Wow.
Can
all
you
original.
That?
Amazing. And the
how?
Arranging? The arranging too.
And the song Don't, did we play that yet? Okay, they have a song that's really famous, and we won't talk about it until we get up here.
I'm super excited to hear it. We're going to close out the show with Don't. So
Don't.
Listen
don't.
In and check out the social media accounts so you guys can listen to them all the time.
There's only so much dancing you can do in a chair.
Say hi.
Stacey, I have one quick last question.
Uh-oh. Okay.
About
was it hard?
About
it
the
hard
genome
question?
Stuff?
Yes.
No, it's kind of a future speculation one.
Okay.
So how close do you think we are from when you're born that you are automatically sequenced, and then throughout your life you're given advice, I guess, as to how to avoid certain genomic or genome-bound diseases?
I think that has always been the fear in this field, in that genomic arena of the sort of medical, legal, ethical, where are the lines? And that's why I was kind of talking a little bit about you owning your information, not owning your information. What can companies do with your information? Mm-hmm. You're
that's
now moving.
So important. That's
it's very
scary.
Critical. It's very critical. And it actually, whenever I would run a test on a patient, they always would ask, well, what are you going to do with this information? Where does this information go? And it's one thing when you're just testing 5 or 10 or 20 genes, you know, mm-hmm. and you literally can show to a patient, we're going to run this certain panel and we're going to look at these 10 or 20 or 30 genes that relate to your illness. People understand that 100%, right? Mm-hmm. But you're asking a much deeper question, and that relates to could you basically discriminate against people? Could it be in health insurance? Could it be in jobs? Could it be in school? Could it be these sorts of things?
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and I personally can't imagine that as a society any of us would tolerate that. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that certainly the healthcare profession would not tolerate.
But I'm sure that goes on somewhere.
It's not known to me. And I certainly hope it would not be in the great US of A.
If it was decided that you own your information 100% and can use like the information from it 100% to benefit your own or to use it how you determine, it would maybe eliminate like the negative aspect of it, but could maybe only be used for good. Like, do you think that is a possibility too?
I think all of it is a possibility, and unfortunately, it's always the unforeseen consequences. True. Correct? That none of us thought of. And
I know, I didn't even think of that negative aspect until you brought that up.
Well, that's like, mostly what people ask about.
Yeah.
Mostly they want to understand, because to most human beings, that genetic information is sort of this unseen, unknown. Where is it going? What's going to happen? Who else could get it? Who could get my health record? What could they do with it? Could my employer read it?
Could my employer get hacked?
And some people are paranoid to put even their credit card online, which I am.
Exactly. Imagine you're putting your complete genomic sequence online.
I would never do that. As much as yourself,
you could put online.
But we need to welcome our next guest to join in on our so she can welcome.
Absolutely.
So Karen, introduce yourself so she can introduce herself and be part of this conversation.
Karen Dorflein, I'm very happy to be here, excited to be here, and especially with the esteemed guests we have this evening.
No.
I'm learning a lot, so thank you.
Dr. Stacy, you're
welcome,
our hero.
Karen.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You really
are. You're very welcome.
You're our hero.
It's a big deal.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. It's my honor. So Karen, do you have a question for the doctor?
We want to know Karen's story.
I have a question for Karen.
Yeah,
I do have a question for the doctor.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll help you.
First question. I'll ask you in a second.
I didn't want to take your time from you telling your story.
Any thoughts on the hydrogen peroxide therapy for cancer?
Interesting. Again, another example that if certain human beings, it may fit them. And if it fits them, by all means, and they believe that it fits in their personal care with their doctors and their families, then by all means, we feel they should be able to do that.
Okay. Very good.
So, Rachel, you said you have a question for Karen.
Let's get Karen started. When we first met, I was so intrigued by the fact that you had gone to Bali and you showed me pictures from this school that you had sent your kids to, and then you were living in a nearby or connected area. But I was struck by how green and interesting it sounded. It's called the Green School. Correct.
It is. We moved with our kids to the Green School in Bali, Indonesia in 2014.
The school
was actually founded by John Hardy, of John Hardy Jewelry fame, correct? And he founded the school. He actually was living in Bali. He's Canadian, living in Bali, had his jewelry company there. And one of his daughters was in the Steiner's Method School. Mm-hmm. And the teacher said, I think it's time your child goes to a quote unquote real school. And he saw The Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore. And that is what prompted him to start and open the Green School. So in 2006, they sold their shares of John Hardy Jewelry. And he actually founded the Green School in Bali, Indonesia.
That's
so cool.
Just
a little footnote before we get into that.
I love hearing
the
story behind it.
Karen likes to have dinners, and she invites everybody from every ethnic race and just like from all over the world. And I just was at her house this weekend, and there was this guy from Belgium was he a mayor?
No, not a mayor. He was from Belgium, not a mayor. Now you put me on the spot.
But in politics, correct. But anyway, she has all these people from all over the world that come to her house, and she wants to create these dinners where like people from Arizona come, and they just like everyone gets to know each other. It's just really exciting, and people from all walks of life.
Like a melting pot.
It is a melting pot. Totally.
Okay, cool.
They came back from Bali.
Sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. It's just so much fun. And just everyone meets everybody. And I just love what you do. So
Karen, with the Green School, is it like specifically a school for sustainability? Or do they just teach how to be more eco-friendly? Or like what all does that, like what all they actually teach?
What do they do? So the school actually has kids from over 40 countries. And they focus on kids as a whole. They do not believe in homework or passing grades. Actually, one of the first videos that they show is grades.
I want to go to that school.
Exactly.
No homework.
Grades. No grades.
Grades are not.
Let's make it a medical
medical school.
What kind of green school is this? Homework.
They're big on sustainability, but they also are very holistic. They have a meditation. Uh-huh. They teach meditation.
You can teach there.
There's a yoga pavilion. There are no walls on the classroom.
So Dr. Stacy should go and teach there.
Dr. Stacy could teach there.
I'd be happy to.
It's an interesting concept. There's actually a TED Talk on the Green School, and John Hardy's philosophy was the same people who build the prisons and the hospitals build the schools, meaning out of concrete and, you know, keep kids
in a box. I thought
it was
bamboo.
It is. No, I'm talking about the typical schools are built out of concrete.
Right.
Institutional.
And no walls. Institutional.
Institutional. Yes.
Where this school has no walls. It's on a river. So, yes, they teach kids, you plant the rice, you feed it. And they teach kids that everything that's going on in the world, we can be part of the solution or we can be part of the problem.
And that's what we say here at our show, because we're saving the planet.
One show at a time.
I'm sorry, we say that. We usually say that three times a show, and when Quid is here, she makes sure, but I sometimes get a little ADD and forget.
We still got one in, though.
We got to do at least two more.
See, I don't know.
So ADD, you almost forgot the third letter.
I think maybe you needed some walls and some bars.
Kinga needs them.
Actually, on ADD, they found that the kids at these schools, there was literally almost no quote-unquote ADD.
Yeah. I'm actually very much with you. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
You know what? When I'm at your house and you have all this, like, she cooks vegan and vegetarian. She cooks for everybody. There's like 10 meals there.
She's part of the solution.
She is. She's totally part of the solution. Because, like, every weekend she invites everybody from all walks of life to come and join and meet each other with her kids because she wants to just be at home. You cook holistically, organically, and just bringing that, you unify everybody with peace and green love. And I just... You're just what we do here at the show, and I love you.
Thank you. I tell people, you know, spend your money on experiences, not things. Even what, you know, our experiences are what shape us. And, you know, when people ask for your resume, it's about your experiences, not what do you have.
I agree.
So going back to the green school, if there's no homework and there's no grades, then how do you graduate? And once you graduate, then where do you take that?
I love your son.
Yeah, it's a great question.
He's so practical.
They didn't believe on homework. They had things they had to get done. But when you think about school, if people work an 8-hour day typically, and our kids are in school an 8-hour period of time, I believe they should be able to get the work done in that 8-hour time, and be able to be kids the rest of the time. It's kind of the same.
Not machines.
Yeah, so not true. Machines.
Oh, my God. Not too much sports all day, all night long.
Yeah.
Right? So,
or if you love sports, you should be able to do that after school.
Sun-kissed thoroughly agrees with this, by the way.
I do agree. So, homework, definitely. I mean, looking back.
So we're down with homework.
Homework took a huge chunk out of my after school life. I could have been having so much fun. Or learning other trades or other things that interested me, or creating something rather than sitting there and looking at the same stuff that we learned all day.
So the Green Room just posted this 15-year-old that was, I think, in Germany, I'm not really sure, about this girl that was like studying about sustainability and about saving the planet. And she said, no, I shouldn't be in the classroom learning about it, because it's about getting out there and convincing other people about what they need to do to be recycling and refusing and reusing and reducing and just being zero waste lifestyle. Because it's not learning in the classroom. It's
that's not what I meant. I'm just saying, like, after they're done at the green school, like, what's the next step? Do they go and become like engineers at like environmental companies?
Question.
Like, what
so
are they? What?
Great question. Yeah. So all different
that's
things.
A great
the
question.
School is pre-K through 12th grade.
Okay, cool.
About 420 students right now. And the kids are actually taught, John Hardy, one of his quotes that I think is hysterical, he says, never get a job unless you want to be miserable. Then get a job. The kids were taught it is their job to create jobs and to create. So to create, whether it's your interest is in farming or getting rid of plastic. So there
the
are
green room.
A number of the kids are... A couple kids, they started when they were 9 and 11. They are actually responsible for banning plastic in Bali. They started a whole movement called Bye Bye Plastic Bags. Another company that was started by an 11-year-old and her 13-year-old brother is called Nalu. It kind of is like a Tom's. It's a give back company. Donna Karen is one of the people who is involved in supporting that company, as well as Megan Williams, one of the Victoria's Secret models, who wears their clothing for no charge and promotes
it. We'll have to get some of it in
of
here.
What they're
doing. Be fashionable. Yeah.
Oh, you
yeah.
just want the Victoria's yeah. Secret model so, in yeah. here, Chad. Who are you kidding?
So it's amazing.
Guilty.
So it's a great question, but the kids are basically taught to go out and make a difference and an impact.
Well, and that's what we're awesome. Here, and that's what we're about. And that's why the minute I met you, we just had a connection.
2 weeks ago.
We had a connection.
2 weeks
through
ago.
Kara Hubbins.
Your long lost sister.
That's awesome
See?
That they're teaching.
All roads lead to Carol.
Carol Hubbins with Child Help.
Well, now
we
I'm
going to
recruit
help?
Karen for Absolutely. Child Help. Sorry, I'm going to steal
are.
Her from you.
Of course you are.
And for cancer research. Take your pick.
So we have to, can we plug Child Help?
Go right
for a
ahead.
Minute?
Go right ahead.
So when is the event?
February 2nd, 2019.
Everyone go. Everyone send toys to their child advocacy center in Phoenix. They need toys because they use the Christmas drive basically for the entire year. Because later in the year, a lot of people don't think to
because
use
apparently
their
everybody
toys.
Wants to donate around Christmas time only. So then they use.
So
Christmas
if you're gonna do it, then just do it.
Could I add a little plug, Kinga?
Yes,
that also
please.
Regarding before Christmas time, if. When you are making cash donations for the event or as a donor, remember it's tax deductible yes. right now.
Thank you.
Ooh. So it's a good time to do it before the end of the year. So maybe you could do some toys and gifts and some cash and you'd get a tax deduction.
And it's their 60-year anniversary.
It's their 60-year anniversary.
So
yes.
donate big.
And it's
donate
going
big.
To an amazing cause. End child abuse with Child Help.
And so we have a friend we're meeting over at City Hall. If you're listening, which he said he is. We want you to donate big.
So mysterious. Wow.
Oh.
That was kind of creepy.
I think I got a little lost for a second.
Yeah.
Which turn did you take there,
yeah.
Kinga? Was there a squirrel?
Somebody's going to. Total squirrel.
Did a squirrel run
squirrel,
by?
Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. So anyway, back to Karen. How can we
Wait,
all help
I have
this?
One, oh. I have one question
oh, okay.
about the
Rachel?
School. And its
Rachel?
Location and the fact that there are no walls. This is the first thing that I thought of. Did you get eaten by mosquitoes?
No, that's a good question. Oh, my gosh.
That's a great question. I would be the first one to
go. So, wait, hold on.
I
but you might
feel
be,
like they just come straight
they
for
me. They eat
me
and Rachel. They don't eat Chet. They don't
I
eat
would die.
Anybody
me too.
Else in the family.
This is These are
too.
Not me facts. Yeah. I get destroyed by mosquitoes.
They do not.
Me too.
Rachel
I have
I
no
do.
Idea what you're
that's
saying.
That's not true. Anyway.
No, what do you mean? They look at me like a big buttery biscuit.
But I'm sure they had some natural countermeasure, like planting plants that fight or that... Naturally, mosquitoes
That's a
don't
good
like
question.
Or something.
Come on.
But
Karen, let's
can
go.
You give us some insight? Because I actually need to get rid of mosquitoes
yeah.
at my own house.
Yeah, they're bad this year. Absolutely. Not mosquitoes were not too bad at all. I would say they could be low in vitamin B. Is that correct, doctor?
Oh,
if you take higher levels of
that
vitamin
is true.
B,
you will repel better.
You repel better.
I need
so
some.
That's true.
Take more vitamin
Does
B. And
all forms of
eucalyptus
B,
oil and lavender.
Oh, we have a natural medicine expert.
Trust me on this one. Eucalyptus oil and lavender, mix them together 50-50. It's an amazing
And put around the
gosh.
Perimeter
yeah.
and also put around the perimeter
yeah,
of buildings and
leave,
things.
If it doesn't work, we can
And then
a
join.
Totally blame
and then a join before or after.
My email address is kinga@inthegreenroom.com.
Love that guy. He loves to make fun of me. Isn't it great? Okay, so Karen, how can we get to this school? And what have your kids... maximized out of this? How have they learned?
Our
and
kids.
Outside of French, yeah. I've heard them speak French.
Yes, that was from a French immersion school before they went to Bali.
Oh, so it was not
But they
Bali.
Kept up French, at least two of them, from speaking to kids that spoke French in Bali. So
immersion.
Yeah, immersion. You know, I think
Cultural.
taking responsibility, the thing I loved most about them being there were the experiences, the fact that they can make a change, seeing what their classmates did, and
make a change.
Make a change.
Saving the planet.
One show at a time. You know, even the ways they realize with plastic, and sometimes you know, great
Plastic's
advice would be
deal.
Stop the hashtag Stop Sucking, get rid of plastic straws.
Altogether. You know, and bags.
That's the hashtag.
I put that all the time. It stops sucking.
Yeah, hashtag stop sucking.
That's
stop
become sucking. A big campaign,
I get it, I get it, I get it. I just had to have a giggle.
It's a pretty lousy little abbreviation.
Uh-oh.
My last question, too. What has the transition been like being or moving back to the United States from such a conscious location to the United States where, for most of us, green... speak is way, way in the back of our minds. That's what we're trying to do on this show, is bring it to the front of people's minds so we can start the change.
And but honestly, it's working. Because sure, I show up at places and they're like, that's all I think about. All these managers of restaurants are like, oh, we're listening to the show. We care about what you're doing.
Keep
we're
listening. To, yeah, but we want to hear, listening. I want to hear, yeah. Sorry, Rachel. Like what the transition back has been like.
So the transition coming back, we came back in 2016. I would say it was, best word was depressing.
Wow.
Really?
Especially for our 11-year-old who's here.
Can she stay
She had the hardest time. Adriana, she's here. She could. You know, I think we came back and I realized, because I've been recycling my whole life. We had to. Mm-hmm. I grew up in New Jersey. And coming back, and even now, going into grocery, people I just find are so unaware.
Yeah.
You know, and just small changes you can make by, you know, keeping bags
in
your
car. Can Rachel ask her a question?
Yeah,
about,
please.
Okay. Here we go. Can you introduce yourself?
Hey, I was just curious what the transition back from being in Bali in such a environmentally conscious location and then coming back to the United States where a lot of people don't really think of it as much. What was that transition like?
Or what was the hardest thing?
Probably, the environmental change.
Understandable. Because, I mean, it sounds like the school you're at was as green as can be. It sounds so cool. No walls, no windows, because everything's open. So it just sounds absolutely beautiful. And Karen, you showed me some photos of the school. It looks awesome. So I can only imagine going from such a green paradise to the maybe not so paradise, maybe not such of a paradise location as the United States schools especially.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh.
Do you have an answer for this?
What do you think about the plastic?
Sorry, I know we put you on the spot. You weren't expecting to talk.
You can think about it, and we can talk about it next time if you don't have an answer right now.
Yeah, and now we're going to go back to one more song with Sunkissed Music here.
Next time.
Thank you so much, Karen. And
right. We're going to Sunkissed. The
Sounds
band
like
Sunkissed.
Sounds like a plan.
And we are, right?
Absolutely.
What do you think of that? Aren't they amazing?
They're amazing. So, I could listen to you girls all evening.
And you're
you should have been the whole show.
Right. And
we were boring. We're just talking about genetics and blah, blah, blah. And, you know.
And she's always recruiting bands for her events. So one of these days.
Absolutely. Stars will be born. Stars were already born.
All right. This is a song we wrote called I Won't.
For men way down in the dark, I'm tired of being told what I want.
You don't really know what's going on in my head. I've got so many things left unsaid. I'm trying to dig deeper than the surface. I'm asking for someone who's not selfish. Those who try to steal my voice, I won't fight for someone who thinks they can make my choice. No, I won't. I won't stick around just so you can let me down.
Let me down. I won't. It's fighting for life, I thought that was mine. Guess I'll have to rewrite my storyline.
'Cause I know what I need, and I know how I feel. So sit, let me tell you the deal.
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.